and then we are still fighting for the FA title, cup title, okay? And then we shall see what the board is deciding.
Anthony Martial, how far off is he from being match fit?
He's now recovered from the contusion, not the concussion, the contusion in his calf and in his ankle. He's recovered and is ready for tomorrow.
Right, so it's the Red News podcast. I always forget what number it is. We haven't done one for a while, which is apologies, but that's life. We're always mad trying to get the mag done, and we always go on the piss after a game. But we've just beaten Spurs 1-0, and they didn't equalise, as we all feared. And I'm joined by one of the Red News readers, Fino, who is going to tell you about what he thought about the game. And I will add a proviso, which means absolutely nothing in his head, but give some kudos to the rest of us. He did play the game at a very decent level, so he sees the game a bit better than someone like me who just glares and goes, ugh. So what did you think today?
Yeah, but I still look at the game like a fan. I don't look at it as technical as some people think you should do. But yeah, I mean, listen, the win was huge today. In my eyes, it was all about getting 3 points. And although it was a little bit, not desperate at the end, but naturally we were pegged back a little bit. But I think overall we deserved it. And maybe if Pogba's three had gone in, you know, it might have been a little bit more comfortable. But sometimes defending a 1-0 lead, you can be a little bit more sort of, I think you can defend a little more of your life type of thing, whereas when you're 2-0, you know, maybe you sort of think, the game's done and dusted, the other team get one, and all of a sudden it's a stick or twist type of thing. So, you know, so today I think that was the case. I think De Gea was a one, so the save from the three, which is down the scoreboard, was a great save. It looked a great save.
And that was very good. And the first half as well, he made a very good one. You think, that's what he, but you were saying before when we were just having a drink, you think, which a lot of people do, which is like this media inspired digging campaign, it is better than last season. It is positive.
Absolutely.
So you were saying the pluses outweigh the negatives.
Absolutely. And certainly with individuals, I mean, you know, the performances of your Valencias and, you know, the Zlatan thing, I know it's a bit like, I think, Jose, with our fans, it's a bit of sort of marmite, isn't it? So some people aren't convinced by him, but certainly, like I was saying to you there, I think definitely the positives outweigh the negatives with him. There are some things that you can see that, you know, maybe you're looking at and you're almost, what did he do that for? But I think a lot of the stuff, when he does hold it up, when he does bring players into the game, it's just that sometimes he has lost. He obviously is not as quick as he was, but he has quality. Quality.
I like it. Yeah. I do think there are sometimes his touch is a little bit off.
Yeah.
But I suppose that's what you get with him. You get the spectacular, you get the special, you get the decent, and then you get this. Like, he has periods of game where he's off, and then 10 minutes later, you know, really off the game. Yeah. 10 minutes later, he's hungry again. He's quite, I suppose that is the characteristics. I'm not Eric, but he wants to get involved when he wants to get involved.
Yeah, he does.
And he ain't going to change.
Yeah, and also, I think there's definitely an understanding with Pogba. And obviously that comes from them being quality players. And as much as he sometimes can frustrate people with some of the things that he does, and again, you know, he doesn't always.
always make the right decisions in terms of, you know, he might try a flick or something like that, maybe in the wrong area. Again, I think he's definitely a huge plus for him, in my opinion. I think he's strong.
For all the signings have been good.
Absolutely.
Since it's again, all four signings, you hope, will be the backbone. I mean, my thing is, try and look at, there's a good lad who buys the mag, and he says he's a moaner. He's 60, Boxing Day, so happy birthday. He won't listen to this because he says he can't be asked for all that shit. You buy the mag and that's it. But he said, from what United treat us now, customers, not fans, for the money they pump in, he wants better now off Mourinho immediately. Because of the way the club now treat us, which I can sort of see that.
Yeah.
But I also thought, this is not a quick fix. We've got by in Fergie's miracle 20th title with Van Persie. So, you know, we know that glossed over so much. Then we got the disaster of Moyes, which set us back 1 year, set us back four. An absolute carnage for what it did.
Absolutely.
And then Van Gaal, where he made these quick, sudden changes, and we thought, this is good. And then the football mentality absolutely stifled all the players.
Yeah.
So Jose's come in and thought, This is tougher than I thought it would. And
absolutely,
I think the fans thinking this is... But I really do think he'll get it together in the second year. Whether his personality, I still, you know, let's not beat around the bush. He can still have his moments. And he may have his moment in the future where he throws a wobbly and he does it. It's all about him. So let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah.
But most managers are like that. The really good ones are selfish, self-centred twats who do very odd.
Yeah. And I think everybody agreed, like, there wasn't another manager available to take this job. And listen, if
United
you say,
right now needed Mourinho. We had to
absolutely
get him.
Yeah. And I think, look, he's done a decent job so far. Other than, I think there are people who think money we spent, profile of the manager, you know, the minimum is top four, the minimum.
Yeah.
And we may still achieve that, and hopefully we do. We do go on a bit of a run. But at the same time, there are no guarantees, as you say.
No.
He has a much more difficult job than I think he thought he had.
But it's not just spending the money, because you have still got a lot of average players in that squad.
Absolutely.
And we've got a lot of players that he obviously doesn't like or doesn't see fit. So you're talking, you know, it's mad in the modern United, I think, talk about big squads. But we've got a lot of players who aren't getting any minutes. And whether a club, we have to make losses, you know, not stupid fans talking about money and transfer fees.
Yeah.
It's all bollocks.
Yeah.
But the pie, you know, he's gone. He's not.
Absolutely.
He's not. He's, so you think we've got average players, and then we've got average players who aren't even getting a look in.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with that on top of thinking, right, how do I try and make two signings each and every window that are going to add and do this? He's done it with four. Not everyone is going to happen like that, as we know from United's past.
Yeah.
It's just complex.
Yeah. And yet, like, and some of the things that he's done as a manager in terms of with the players, I mean, fans had written off the likes of Valencia at the start of the season, Mata. They'd written off in the middle of the season, or let's say in the middle of the spell that he's been there, they'd written off Rojo, Jones. They've come back and improved. So that must be down to management.
That is it's a good point. I have my doubts whether that's a long term. But then
no, maybe not long term.
United fans, well, our psyche at the moment is so screwed, you know, that we're thinking we're never going to win, we're always going to do this. We're struggling to sort of deal with, not mediocrity, but where we are right now.
Yeah.
And where we are is not a nice place. We've got to get better. We've got to. But it's going to take time.
But as you said earlier, there's no question the football is better. And I know people want results. We all want results.
Yeah.
And we should have won the last four home games that we drew. We all know that. But the football is absolutely better.
For me, ignoring the games against the big ones, we've got to start beating those shittier teams. You get that because it's United. They come out for their cup final. We've always had that. But, you know, like watching Watford, Everton, which are put, they're terrible. You know, they're not good sides.
No.
And we have to get that clinical, nasty bastard United that goes there and goes, we're 2-0 up. You know, we're not taking shit off you. We're not going to have a mediocre player beat someone who's much better than you. And that's where we need a bit of nastiness in that side.
Yeah. And well, I mean, obviously what's been frustrating has been not getting the results the following week. We dropped points to Burnley and then they've gone and got hammered by somebody, you know. But that's frustrating.
So, but tell me a little bit about, so you make this journey regularly. Yeah, what do you do? Go on, tell us.
Well, it's the reason why I do is because you look at the economics of it. So Moyers, I want to get to as many games
where
as I can.
Where do you travel from?
So we travel from Dublin, and it's typically via, obviously, Manchester, but a lot of times via the likes of Liverpool, sometimes Birmingham.
Yeah.
And it's you try to do it, as I said, the cheapest possible route to get to as many games as you can. So it means it means gambling sometimes on the kickoff times. It means gambling on the days even of the games so that you can get those cheap fares. And sometimes, most times, you can read maybe the fixtures on the weekend and see, well, that one will be on telly, that one won't.
Yeah.
But you need to do it almost before the TV time. And if you can get a batch of games like that, but look, if I can do a game, let's say in terms of the transport, the match ticket, and the sundries, let's call it, for, you know, €100, 100 to maybe €120, it's good value.
But what gives you the bug where, you know, in this time and age, there are some Reds who pick and choose, that you're doing a lot of games? What gives you the inspiration to get up, especially during the darker times, to think, I'm fucking going to do this, I must be mad?
Yeah. Listen, there is an element of bug and drug to it, there's no doubt about it, but I think, to me, it's easier to be at the games than to watch them on the television.
Yeah, yeah.
And while I'm in a position to be able to sort of resource that, you know, even if it is on a, let's call it a shoestring, I prefer to do that, you know, because you can actually come from a game, and even if the result's not a good one, you can sort of process it better in your head almost.
You still get the buzz.
Like, oh, absolutely.
Every trip.
Absolutely, and it's just anticipation, isn't it? And even last year and the year before, where the football wasn't good, you always went with a certain amount of hope and expectation, even though deep down you knew that it was probably going to be more of the same.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about football, isn't it? It's unpredictable.
Well, it's a life. You don't, good or bad, you're there.
And like last season, like, you know, you went through the sort of mediocrity of the league games, but it sort of spawned the cup run, didn't it then?
Yeah,
and all of a sudden you were in the middle of the cup run.
I didn't enjoy Moyes and I didn't enjoy Van Gaal's football, but I sort of enjoyed, that's the wrong word, but when we are crappier, and this is nothing on what we went through in the 70s and 80s, it does sort the wheat from the chaff. You know, the people who go, United aren't winning, I'm going to fucking throw my toys out of the pram, that's it, I'm done with them if they lose on Saturday.
Yeah.
Get to fuck, you know. Like O'Neill said in his podcast, you know, here, we're in his upstairs bar.
And I think, like, the cup thing last year, I think, was actually a reward almost for the fans who had sort of gone through that. Now, I know other fans benefit from it as well, because obviously that's what happens, but I think it was a certain amount of reward for them.
Booing the Van Gaal is not the, I don't like
Fellaini. I don't like it.
It's never going to do anyone any favours. It's on the side. So tell us a little bit, without naming yourself, and, you know, if you don't want to understand that, but what level did you play at?
Well, you know, I played in what is now referred to as the National League of Ireland. So it was League of Ireland football, and I played for my most local League of Ireland team, even though it wasn't my hometown team. And I came from, let's say, completely amateur football into semi-pro football, because even at the top level in Ireland, it's not professional, as in full-time professional. There are some full-time professionals playing, but typically it's a semi-pro league. So, and you manage it with a full-time job. So when I played, and this stage, it was late 80s to early 90s, that kind of period. I came relatively late into it, in the sense I was in my early 20s when I made that move.
Yeah.
But I had a kind of a good 4 years. The club who I played for won the National Cup, got promotions, won a couple of kind of regional cups. So it was just a good time. It was more to do with a bunch of players. I was by no means a stellar National League player, but I just happened to be around at the time.
You're on Google.
Yeah, yeah. So look, I mean, it was great.
But you had an experience in the 1991
Cup. Yeah, we won the FA Cup in 1990. I mean, people will know, like, that was Bray Wanderers' team. So, but I suppose the great thing about that was it qualified us for the Cup Winners' Cup the following year, and we drew Trabzon's for in the preliminary round, and the draw was already made for the first round proper, and it was Barcelona waiting the winners.
Yeah.
Which, okay, Trabzonspor were red-hot favourites, but I mean, the first leg was 1-1, the second leg, nil all at half-time in Turkey, hostile environment, not as hostile as your Istanbul's, but still, Turkish football, but we were getting hammered nil all, you know, if that's right, and I suppose, but technically we were only 45 minutes away from the new camp, but look, they won 2-0, and I think I might have said it before that the interesting was that when they played Barcelona, they bet them 1-0 at home in the first leg and went 1-0 up in the second leg at the Nou Camp, so they were 2-0 up, but lost that match 7-2. So, and of course, that was the season that we bet them.
We bet Barcelona
in the final. So
you could
it was
have
just playing,
in the final.
Yeah,
for the
camp. Six steps, isn't it? Like,
but
you know,
I mean, like,
so
it's a plan. Yes, you did. I mean, all joking, you know, do you see the game differently, or do you just now a total fan?
No, absolutely. I mean, I think, listen, everybody has an opinion and everybody has an idea, but I don't think everybody should have an opinion.
Yeah.
That's what supporting football is all about. But I think you have to be careful when you shout down the manager, you shout down the coaches, you shout down what they're trying to do, you know, that whole thing. I think you can understand that side of the
Brand.
You can understand that players,
confidence is massive.
Absolutely. You can understand that players are probably performing in training, the managers are seeing players in training and all that kind of stuff, and they believe them and they have faith in them and all that. And I think that's what I probably understand more.
Yeah.
So I think I'm less liable to be personally critical of players, even though they're highly paid professionals. And maybe that's something that I've got from playing, I think, you know.
Yeah.
And well, listen, that makes
no
difference, but I think it does make you appreciate. But tactically and stuff like I mean, this is a different level, you know, and it's a more modern game, and it's moved on. I mean, but then in saying that, football is fundamentally the same. It's always been the same. It's about, you know, good players, good awareness, good control, and good temperament. And players who work hard, as well as having the skill, tend to be the ones who got the highest. But, you know,
did you show your allegiance to United when you were black, you know, like?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the most difficult part of playing, because naturally you have to make certain sacrifices about, I mean, even both as a player, and I ended up then managing the team's under 21 team, and that was the commitment where, you know, training matches inevitably clashed with what United were doing. But like, I mean, you're always conscious of it in your head, and you want to know what's going on, but you want to be professional well in what you're doing. I mean, one of the funny stories I had was that we used to have, this is when I became the under 21 manager, the first team manager of the club, and I mean, they were struggling at the time in the League of Ireland Premier Division. He would often have meetings of the management team, which included everybody, you know, and so that included the under 21 manager, coaching squad, and we'd have this meeting, and the first team was struggling, and we'd have this think tank around the table, what are we going to do here? And one of the coaches at the club, as long with me, is a fanatical United fan, and like, the manager knows this, like, you know, and so he's going around the table and asking people for the input, you know, and of course I happen to be sitting beside, you know, Gary, this lad, now you know who he is if he's listening to this, and you know, he'd say, okay, he says, news too, he said, have you any input into this, you know, and we're sort of humming and hawing about it, because, you know, it's the first team we're in the 21s. Well, he says, if the two of you, he says, if you had as much enthusiasm for this club as you had for fucking Manchester United, he said, you know, that might be a bit of a help, you know. And it was the first time that he'd almost sort of not picked on you as knowing that this was something that was just, you know, in you. Like, not that it really ever got in the way, loudest talking about, you know, the club or the things like that. And I suppose you wanted to pick up on that a certain amount. But, I mean, listen, you know, at the end of the... That's the thing about here. That's why, in a way, if it was in a different life, I'd hate to be involved with the club that I support. Because, you know, working for a club is different from supporting them and loving them and being passionate
and
about them.
And the whole love is a different part, isn't it? You don't want to sour.
You know what I mean? You wouldn't want to sour it. If you were... I'm not saying, listen, it might be everybody's dream to get involved with the club that they love and support, but I could imagine that it could do. Unless it's a pure, you know, perfect type of a setup where you play and you punch off is enough. But I mean, how many supporters of clubs end up and going...
But you bring your kids in that, and it must be very special to think... So a lifelong effect, which I've had, you know, like my late mum, and I still think this is where they hold over me, for all the nasty things, for all the glazes, the debt, for all the defeats, for all the losses, for all the draws. I'm still drawn, and we're looking at the sign, and I still love it.
Yeah.
And I am like a kid. I like all the worries in the life, and there are many we all go through. And it all seems to, if I can get caught up thinking, is Rocco going to make a, you know, mistake?
Yeah, yeah.
Are they going to get, if that is the release that we all still have and can still have it, then it's all alright. You know, like, absolutely. The world is sort of still spinning on my axis.
Yeah, yeah. And as you, and I mean, you just touched on the whole thing of almost succession. Like, I mean, for me, a big team, you know, you met my son, Peter, and him coming to the games and getting to some away games and getting the cup finals, and like, that's kind of, there's something magical about that. And I'm not saying that you have to have to be in with them, but if you have it, it's a nice thing to have. And the fact that, you know, that, you know, all things being equal, they'll try and pass it on. And there is something nice about the whole sort of succession.
You do not want the ground full of people who just fly by nights, you know, come out of nowhere in their 40s. And that, you know, it's not, I'm trying never to be judgmental because I'm a twat, but I'd hope the people listening know what I mean.
Yeah.
That you think, you know, I still believe United has a soul, and its soul is in the fans, and hopefully some of the players get it.
And actually, I think as you delve a bit deeper into the whole, you know, into the whole, the fanzine world, like you do, Barney, you know, into the, you know, the people who do manage to sort of build up a sort of a situation where they can get to the likes of away matches and stuff like that, I think you realise that it's actually, hey, for a massive club, there's a sort of a smaller sort of a heartbeat almost.
There is. There are a lot of people you don't see anymore, and not, you know, obviously the ones who are, and I'd say the saddest thing during the Magos years is the people who passed away, and I could name 60, 70 who are lovely people, and that's just an age thing. But there's a lot of people who don't go United anymore, but there are still, even today, 200 lovely people. They're not fighting, they're not magpie, you know, but you just say hello, you talk about them, then you'll see them kids and you think that is United.
Yeah.
And hopefully it will never change, because what this club should represent and does represent far goes beyond if we get a fucking, if some team scores a last minute equaliser, it's much more important than that.
Absolutely, and that's not to say that United, obviously, you know, is this massive worldwide sort of almost, you know.
But don't begrudge that.
No, absolutely. No,
you wouldn't be.
That's,
I mean,
insane.
I would, you know.
Absolutely. And that's the point that I think for them, even for the people who do support the club from a distance and might never get to a match, it's good for them. It's good for them to know that there is a heartbeat. Sort of keeping the supporter culture
the
alive.
Like, appreciate that a little bit more.
Absolutely.
And sort of get it. But anyway, we're going to end on a positive note. What's been your highlight of 2016 as a United fan?
The year 2016, I think, and I know this is probably where fair, winning the cup was important. I think the Martial semi-final goal, yeah. I think that was, there was something magical about that. Although it's a coming a very close, I can barely separate the Rashford winner at Upton Park.
I was just going to say,
because I was there with, Peter was with me at that, we were behind it, and that was a magic proper moment. And the great thing about that night was we were expected to get beaten.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he ever said that about United, especially going to West Ham, and we really, against all the odds, and you just felt there was something special happening.
Well, that's what I'd say, the three things. And I love it, people would knock the FA Cup. Obviously, we want more. We want to win the league, we want to win the European Cup.
Yeah.
But don't ever choose and pick and choose your cups.
No.
The way I remember Gary Neville saying, there's 89 teams who win fuck all.
Yeah.
So don't. And the FA Cup, the West Ham, that was fucking magic ballooning.
Yeah.
Then Marshall, because Wembley is the stinking cesspit that is new Wembley or old Wembley.
Yeah, yeah.
For him to provide a moment like that. No. And then I really enjoyed the cup final.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lingard's
And you think, again,
the
Van Gaal era, if that was Moyes, would have lost that final.
Yeah.
But he had, on his last game, we should be gracious enough, the Van Gaal gave a team talk, showing the emotion I wish he'd shown for the 2 years previous. Cajoling, if you watch it again, cajoling him.
Yes.
Saying, come on, attack more, attack more.
Yeah.
And if he'd done that, but, and hopefully 2017 did better. So thank you, mate.
Yeah.
And
it was a pleasure. And
I wish every person who buys the mag, who supports United, whatever, happy Christmas and a happy new year.
Yeah. Cheers, Barney. Thank you.